Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 1st, 2024. Another year's passed. Oh, geez. I'm recording this the last day of 2023. The first 15 minutes is going to be the last day of 2023, and then I'm recording the rest of this after the Rose Bowl, because I'm going to go see the Michigan Wolverines against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Really looking forward to that. I know Michigan's going to try to steal some signals, but I think Alabama's okay considering they hired their linebackers, Michigan's linebackers coach from 21 and 22 for 1 month. You know, just to shoot the breeze. We'll see how that goes. Now, I am turning over a new leaf. Oh, gee. I am done screaming about the prevent defense. I am now just going to, I'm just going to approach it because I've yet to get a fucking answer. How anybody can explain to me the purpose. I understand what the purpose is. The purpose is you give up the middle of the field, you keep the ball in play, and by the time you get down there, they're going to run out the clock and da-da-da-da-da. I'm not a math guy. Gee, what a surprise. I'm not a reading guy. I'm barely a guy. All right? I don't fucking, in my lifetime, old Billy Oldface here, I have seen so much shit come and go in the NFL because it just doesn't work. Okay? There used to be a position in the NFL called the flanker. I never really knew what he did, but it's gone. Flanker fucking aged out. That changed. I remember all the time they'd call double reverses. You never see that anymore. Statue of Liberty play. You don't fucking see that anymore. All the quarterbacks were white. You don't see that. And there was white cornerbacks. They used to be star running backs that would get fucking 1,800 yards. You had to get like 1,500 yards if you're going to fucking win the rushing title. Right? And everybody, like the whole half the fucking league had 1,000 yarder. All of that shit. The game changed, the rules changed, and shit that used to work didn't. The wishbone offense in college football, nobody fucking runs that anymore. Maybe Division III team because it just doesn't work anymore. But the one thing that just stays since the 1980s is the prevent defense, and I just don't get it. Okay? Now, I'm not going to lose my shit. I bet on the Cowboys, and the Cowboys won, and they covered. Okay, there was like a minute change left in the fucking game. They're in field goal position. It's first down. The Lions have no more timeouts. What do? They throw the fucking ball. I get it. They're going for the kill shot. They don't get it. It's incomplete. Second down, incomplete. Stops the clock. Gives the Lions a timeout. Then they run the ball. Then they kick the ball for a field goal. So now they're up 7. Now, they could have run off another 30, 40 fucking seconds, but instead, they gave the Lions 40-something seconds. Okay? They kicked the fucking ball to them. They've been covering their receivers the whole game. They've been playing great defense the whole game. Okay? The fucking score is 20-13. They've only scored 13 points. There's a minute 40-something left. For whatever fucking reason, they go into this soft zone, whatever the fuck you call it, give them a 15-yard cushion. Now, I'm not good at math here, but it's 10 yards for a first fucking down. So every throw was a first down. It's like a 25-yarder, a 10-yarder, a 15-fucking-yarder, and they go right down the field. The fucking game was over. Should have been over. Next thing you know, Joe Buck has gone up another octave going, the Lions are still in it. And I'm sitting there like going, what the fuck am I watching right now? What is the game plan here? So they let the Lions just waltz down the fucking field. I will give them this. They did keep them in bounds as far as I remember. Then they get into the red zone and then they decide, now we're going to play fucking defense. We're going to give you 60 fucking yards. And that now we're going to give you 4 shots at the fucking end zone, which they didn't even need. They threw it underneath off to the right, and then this kid, Speedy McGillicuddy, fucking dives into the end zone. Touchdown. So now I'm sitting there, I figure what the fucking spread was that I have. It was like 3.5 or 4, and I am like home alone, like Macaulay Culkin, screaming at my TV like I'm watching the apocalypse. I'm like, what in the fuck? What did I just watch? What the fuck am I watching? So then the Lions, fucking what's his face? Dan, their coach, former player who played on the 0-16 Lions. He's like, oh no, motherfucker, we ain't doing that again. This is the new Lions. We're going for 2. So I'm thinking to myself, the only shot I have at winning this bet is if this motherfucker kicks the extra point, we go into overtime, and somehow the fucking Cowboys shake off, fucking up the game, score a touchdown, and then I can win my bet. And this guy is going for 2. Gotta love that. He's like, fuck you, Dallas. I'm going for 2. I know you guys saw this, but I just have to work my way through this again to fucking believe what I saw. Fucking hike the ball. They scrambled around, blah, blah. He throws it to an offensive lineman. 2-point conversion. Now it's 21-20 with like fucking 20 seconds left. The fucking game is over. Unless the Lions go into an 80-yard fucking cushion and just give him a touchdown, which at this point I wouldn't put past anybody. And then all of a sudden the refs start fucking talking. Baba, baba, beba, boo. They say the guy doesn't check in. And then they have footage of the fucking guy shooting the shit with the referee. I guess he wasn't listening to him. I don't know what he was doing. He was acting like it was his fucking wife saying what he wanted him to do that Saturday. I got it. Yeah, whatever. So they said the fucking guy was ineligible. And they have all this footage of the guy talking to the fucking ref. So now it's 2019. The Lions, it's back to 2019. The fucking Lions get a penalty. I love that I'm laughing about it now. This is the new me, because I had to leave my house because my kids came home right in the end, of course. You know, it was like entrapment. I was fucking cleaned up the house, dad of the fucking year, and all they hear coming up the house is like, what in the fuck are they doing? Probably worse than that. So my wife comes in and I get the look, right? I get the look. Like if you're in a band and you try a fill and you fuck it up and the rhythm guitarist, the Malcolm Young, just looks over his shoulder and you're like, oh, I'm going to hear about that one, right? Except this was an F-bomb. So now they, whatever that penalty is, 5 yards or whatever. So now they're back on like their fucking 10-yard line or something like that. And Lions coach is like, fuck you. He was like Joe Pesci when he was playing blackjack. Stick this card up your fucking ass. Stick that ineligible penalty up your mother's ass. We're going for it. I'm like, this guy's a fucking lunatic, right? He goes for it. They don't fucking get it. And I was just like, so not only the Lions not win, I don't fucking cover. And I'm sitting there going, how in the fuck does he go for it again? He was literally like a degenerate gambler at a fucking blackjack table at 3 a.m. Like, fuck it. I got another grand. I'm either going to leave with 10 grand or just lose my final fucking $1,000. I don't understand any of that. If anybody can explain to me, how about one of you fucking math nerds, you not football people that are fucking good with numbers, explain to me. Like, because as far, honestly, I'm not saying the prevent never works. But it seems to me what it does is you're basically guaranteeing the other team is going to go down to the red zone and get 4 chances at throwing a touchdown. So I know the big controversy was that the Lions are saying checked in. He was definitely, I don't know what, as Andrew Themelis hilariously said, was he asking him how his Christmas was? He was talking to him. I don't know what happened. But that's like the big controversy of the game. Nobody is saying, why in the fuck, why did you play that soft a defense? You were acting like Jared Goff was killing you all day, and that he had three Randy Mosses and Tony Gonzalez at fucking tight end to throw to. I'm not saying they don't have talent at those positions, but like, where they sit there and they'd be like, well, you know, you throw a 50-50 ball, it could be fucking pass interference. Yeah, that could happen the whole game. That could happen the whole fucking game. It's like all of a sudden, everybody gets scared at the end of the game. It's like your defense was fucking stopping them. Just keep playing defense. They have no fucking timeouts. Okay? Let's say they get a couple of first downs. The fucking clock's going to run out. Unless you're giving them such giant chunks of yardage. I'm just going to sound like a broken record. I just literally had to get this off of my chest before, you know, I go to the Rose Bowl tomorrow, which is today when you're listening to this, God willing. Unless something unfortunate happened to me at the game. This is my final 11 minutes of podcasting. Yeah, I got this new thing that where I watch sports, and I'm just like, I have aged out of watching sports. I'm still going to watch them. I don't understand them. And it's happened to me in all sports. I don't understand why in NBA basketball, the three-second rule also applies to the offensive player. He also has to clear out. Fine, so he has to clear out. And then I watch a guy dunk on nobody and then scream like he's in 300, like he just fucking dunked on Moses Malone or something. Moses isn't there anymore. Moses is over by the fucking bench waiting to catch an outlet pass so he can dribble it past the half-court line and pull up for a fucking 100-foot three-pointer, which inexplicably will go in. That's the one thing I do like about the NBA. It's the greatest collection of outside shooters ever. The level, the percentage of shooting is far superior to what it was when I was watching the game growing up. But when you dunked, you had to dunk on somebody. It wasn't this fucking T-ball shit, right? Or guys clearing out because they don't want to get on SportsCenter. And then hockey. I watched hockey. 2019, after 10 years of getting enforcers out of the league, the Boston Bruins show up in the finals with a fucking finesse team. No more Sean Thorntons, no more fucking Lucic's, right? And we lose to the Blues, who are inexplicably allowed to play old-school Boston Bruins hockey. And I'm like, what the... This was penalized all year, except now, when it fucking counts. Hey, God bless St. Louis. They got. I don't understand. All right? I don't understand why stealing signs is illegal. I don't care what technology you're doing. It's still fucking unbelievably difficult. And maybe... You know what they're doing on one or two plays that gives you competitive edge, but does that make you win the game? No. They're not over there saying what the fuck they're doing. They're still disguising it. So it's still an unbelievable skill. I don't know if you've ever looked at it. They're covering their lips. They got all these crazy pictures and everybody's fucking voguing. How the fuck do you even figure out two plays, one play? All right? But you can hire a former coach just for a month-long contract for him to sit there and tell bedtime stories about the other team's playbook. And evidently, that is okay. You can crowd the plate in baseball, and you can go up there like you're going to medieval times, elbow pad, shin pad, fucking a guard around your jaw. You can hang out over the plate. And then if the fucking guy throws at you, you're allowed to have a fucking temper tantrum, and then they throw the fucking pitcher out of the game. You can hit a home run and stand there and admire it and flip the bat like you just reinvented baseball, and nobody can throw at your head the next time or they get fucking suspended. Don't understand that. How many sports we got left? What is left now? Those baseball, football, hockey, basketball. I think I went to all of them, right? Yeah. I don't get it. And guess what? I finally realized that nobody cares. So all I'm going to do now when I watch sports, when something like that happens, is I'm just going to try to glance over at somebody else who's also my age and just try to get a similar look from them. Like, Does that make it good? That didn't make sense to you either? Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. So, anyway, this is the big thing in my life. I'm going to the Rose Bowl. I'm taking my new truck over there. I got the flat top grill, and I went out and I bought some ratchet straps, which I'd never used before. They're really fucking easy. Underrated ratchet straps. All right, I'm back. I am back. Holy shit. Holy shit, what a game. What a game between two storied franchises and... I actually thought I was going to go to that game, be out in the elements from 7 in the fucking morning until 7 at night, and I was going to come home and just bang out the last 40 minutes of this podcast. What the fuck was I thinking? I was spent after that game. A glorious... glorious afternoon of tailgating, morning, afternoon of tailgating, an unbelievable game, might be the one of the best sporting events I ever went to, even though it was kind of a sloppy game, a lot of mistakes made by Michigan, unforced errors, and I thought Alabama didn't quite play their best football either, but it was just the fact that it was Michigan versus Alabama, Harbaugh versus Nick Saban. I just know in 20 years, that's going to be two cool coaches to talk about. And just seeing like the different fan bases was fucking great. You know, the Midwest accent, you know, oh, get some half and half. That shit. Yeah, that mixed with the Alabama fans who... most of them are cool, but like this upper echelon of them, you know, like the pretty girls, you know, they wear like the mini skirts with the cowboy boots. And then like the guys dress like they look like they're in the Truman Show. It's like this guy had like a sweater vest on with a polo shirt and like khaki pants. I mean, he looked like he was going to like his sophomore semi-formal and he's going to like a football game. You know, brown hair, perfectly parted, like just a level of white that I can't even relate to. And I remember just looking, I was joking with a buddy of mine, and I saw the perfect chick he was with, and I was just saying to my buddy, I go, how psyched were her parents when he came walking up the walk? I mean, it was a sight to behold. It was like literally like, remember, what was it, Trading Places? And he stepped on the ball. Like literally that level where, you know, you hear about it, but you said like those kinds of white people don't exist, do they? And then you go and like, there they are. Those are the ones they're talking about. I'm not going to lie to you. As a white person, I was fascinated by it. I was like, and a little envious. I'd be like, that'd be fucking, that'd be cool to be that white, you know? It's fucking wearing a sweater vest, just not questioning shit. I mean, it's got to be like, there's a level of bliss to that. Anyway, so let me just take you through the whole day. I got over my buddy's house at 7 in the morning, and then we were waiting for there was three other carloads of people, right? Three other cars. Everybody showed up. 6:58, 6:59, 7 o'clock. We were there. Fucking military, right? We load up the back of my truck, making her maiden voyage to the Rose Bowl. And then my buddy, you know, he knew how to go in. He just took all back roads there. It was the easiest way I've ever gotten in. No traffic. No, wow, they closed off the street. Ah, fuck. How the fuck do we get in, you know? I usually deal with that. I usually have like two or three meltdowns before I go there. Most of that has to do with me, not the Pasadena Police Department. So we pull in. As we're pulling in, you know, one of the guys that's like guiding you where you're supposed to go goes, hey, beautiful truck. And I was like, thank you. Very excited. So I, you know, we get this great spot, great location, mostly Michigan fans, some Alabama, you know, which was kind of how the stadium was. I felt like it was sort of 60-40, 65-35. And, we post up. It's got the flat top grill, immediately crank that thing up, get that thing going. And I brought my coffee maker, and which was fantastic because I got to use the three-prong outlet in the tail in the bed. I found out you had to have the truck on, and I was thinking, like, Jesus Christ, I'm gonna be like smelling this exhaust or whatever. But I don't know. We were outside. I couldn't smell it. Maybe because I don't know if diesel burns a little cleaner, or maybe I'm just fucking old. I couldn't smell it, right? So I start making cappuccinos. And, like, we had people from other tailgates would just come walking over. You guys got a coffee maker? That's the worst, you know, when you're next to people that didn't fucking, you know. There's a thing where if you have a really good tailgate, you also got to kind of be a little incognito because all the bears start fucking wandering over, you know, trying to fucking stick their nose in the picnic basket. I felt bad. These guys kept coming over going like, wow, man, those burgers look good. These guys were really cool, but we only brought in, I've always had extra food, but we brought like the perfect amount where everyone could only have one burger. But we had a bunch of breakfast sandwiches. We had breakfast sandwiches going. It was very basic, and it actually ended up making it work, but we had like insane apparatuses. So I was making fucking cappuccinos. The secret to my coffee is the filtered water. I only use totally filtered pure water. And, I think that makes all the difference as far as it making it really smooth and not like overly acidic. And, the first 40 minutes of the tailgate, I was fucking Billy Barista over here, made like 10 cappuccinos, and I had a fucking blast doing it. And I actually was like, I got to the point where my foam was getting, my milk, I was getting it to a temperature because I never quite figured out how I could start making like designs. So what happens with mine is I usually, it's right at the end I can make something. Instead of right from the jump, the way I watch these pros do it. And then what happens is it's a small window and then it's just foam and it fucks the whole thing up. But after doing like 10 in a row and sort of experimenting with amount of milk, amount of air, how long I kept it underneath the steam, I was starting to get a much better consistency. So I was kind of really excited about that. But, you know, it's the best, dude. You know, when you're a cookout and you're making something and people are complimenting you, it's just the best. So everyone's like, oh my God. This is fucking delicious and all of that stuff. And I was the martyr, you know. I didn't make myself a cup of coffee until the last one. We were almost out of milk. And right as I finished my coffee, my buddy Mike was bringing the first breakfast sandwiches, like, off the grill. I had a bacon, egg, and cheese on an English muffin with a cappuccino sitting on a golf course. On a fucking fairway with all of my friends getting ready to watch Michigan and Alabama, two storied franchises going at it. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I had some dread because every time I've gone to an Alabama game, Alabama has won. They just fucking, they're amazing. Nick Saban's fucking amazing. You just gotta give it up to them. They're fucking amazing. So, you know, I saw that I went to LSU. Who the fuck was there? The guy who ate the grass was still coaching them. Death Valley. Began with an L. I'm thinking Lane Kiffin. That's Mississippi. Anyways, Les Myers, right? That guy was coaching up against Saban. And I remember the whole student section chanting, fuck you, Saban. Fuck you, Saban. Because he left LSU. I think he went to Miami. He went to the pros for a second and then went back down. Took over Alabama and basically is starting to make people forget about Bear Bryant. Or is at least on the same level. He has to be. So anyway, I'm sitting there with like dread because I went to the LSU game and they had him. They were balling out and they were just fucking winning. And then they just started playing conservative and Alabama never stopped fucking playing, which is something I notice about them. They just keep fucking, they keep the pressure on. They don't go into a prevent defense. They keep fucking going after you, right? So then I saw him, Johnny Manziel,
Johnny Football, College Station, the year after he led the Aggies to beat him in Tuscaloosa, I saw the College Station one, and they were fucking, you know, just not destroying, but they were controlling the game. Texas A&M did. And then halftime came, and Nick Saban's fucking goddamn genius mind. Oh, is this what they're doing? We're going to do that, and we're going to do this. And then they just fucking suffocated him in the second half. I'll tell you that LSU stadium, that was the quietest stadium I ever walked out of after they lost to Alabama. It was fucking brutal. It was pandemonium. Like, oh, my God, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And then they just fucking pulled our legs right out from underneath us. It was Death Valley, deathly quiet is what it was. And then I saw, this one doesn't count, I saw Alabama in Alabama in like September, some cupcake game. And that was never a game. So I was thinking like, you know, I was thinking one of two things. Alabama's going to jump out early, or Michigan's going to fucking look like they're going to win it, and Alabama's just going to come back, because it's just what the fuck they do. It's just what the fuck they do. That's what's so frustrating about rooting against them. It's the same frustration when I was rooting against Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes all of those years. You know, because I can't do that. I can't just jump into a sport and just pile on with the best fucking person. You got to go for an underdog, right? And they're just, you know, operating at a level of excellence that other people can't keep up with, and it's frustrating. So anyway, so we're sitting at the tailgate. We have our breakfast sandwiches, and then I have like, I have a cigar, right? And we're smoking cigars, and we're sitting there in the chairs. And sun's coming down. It feels great. I'm looking at my truck. I'm fucking, looks beautiful. I got that caffeine in me, you know, a little bit of tobacco, catching my, you know, my sober buzz that I do here. And as we're smoking cigars, these Alabama fans, the regular looking ones, not the, and he stepped on the ball, those ones, right? The regular ones, not the ones who are going to be a fucking senator someday. They came walking by, and I heard one of the kids say to the other kid, goes, yeah, they're getting the cigars out of the way early. And I didn't get it at first, and I was like, oh, he's saying we're going to have nothing to celebrate afterwards. And I was going, motherfucker. And I'm thinking, like, he's probably right. Everybody here is saying Michigan. Everybody thinks Michigan is going to fucking dominate. So anyway, long story short, we have some burgers, throw the football around, and just have a great fucking time. And you just could feel it. You knew it was going to be a fucking good game. So I got six tickets. Four of them are in my Apple wallet. And then the other one is on this other app that I had to fucking download. And I don't know where I was supposed to put it, but like, I can't get on Wi-Fi because I'm standing next to 90,000 other people also using the same satellite. So there was this big fucking thing as you were trying to go in. It was hilarious. It was like all the young kids were good to go. Like, there was some young kid, Alabama fan, helped me find my four tickets in the Apple wallet, how to get to it. And I thanked him and everything. And then the other shit, I had to like, I got four of us through, and then Bartnick and Frazier, I couldn't get through. I'm like, I have the tickets. And then I had to wait till somebody came over, gave me like a Wi-Fi, and I'm standing there next to this satellite fucking antenna with like five other, like, you know, Geico dads, all the young people just rolling through. It was all people like in my generation were like, I can't get there. I don't know where the tickets are, right? So then we finally ended up getting them. We get Bartnick in. It's a bit of a journey getting to our seats. Some bathroom flooded or something like that. And there was water pouring out and shit. So, yeah, I had to throw out those sneakers. So we were just trudging through water that was coming out of a bathroom. I'm like, that's the water to flush the shit down, right? Not the water that was flushing shit down. I mean, I didn't see any, I don't know, whatever. We'll just fast forward through that awfulness. But, you know, that's what happens when you go to a stadium that's fucking over 100 years old. So then we end up getting to our seats, and Alabama wins the toss. They defer to the second half. Here we go, you know, stealth bomber flies over, the whole fucking thing. We made it there for kickoff. And first play from scrimmage, Michigan's guy rolls out, throws it right to Alabama's defender. Interception. They're going fucking nuts. And I just sat down going like, how much money did I just waste buying these fucking tickets?
because it's just it. You throw. I mean, you're playing Alabama in the fucking Rose Bowl in a playoff. Your first fucking play for scrimmage, you throw an interception. The fucking game's over. This is what you're bringing against fucking Saban and Alabama. The fucking game's over. Fortunately, the guy was ruled out of bounds. I was like, all right, thank God for that. And then they came back and they were running the ball, moving it fine or whatever. They may have had a three and out, but whatever. The whole first half, basically, Michigan dominated it with yardage, time of possession, and all that, sacking their quarterback like three times. They couldn't run the ball. Michigan's running the ball down their throats, but Michigan keeps making these fucking mistakes, fumbling a punt, scoring a touchdown, the extra point, they hike the ball back to the place kicker. It doesn't even get off the ground. Miss an extra point. So instead of being like, you know, they're up 14-0 or 14-3, they give them a short field on, you know, the fumbled punt. They score a touchdown on that. So at one point, we're down 7-3. But at halftime, it's 13-10. And you're looking at the numbers going like, they should be up 17-3, 14-7. There should be a bit of a cushion here. And I'm just sitting there going like, this is what happens. And now Saban's going to go in during halftime, and this game is going to fucking turn on its head. And everything that Michigan's doing, Alabama's going to be doing, except they're going to be turning these drives into fucking 7 points. And, you know, I was there with my brother, and he knows all of this shit. He was just going like, yep, we're going to have to deal with two drives, and then we're going to have to adjust to what they're doing. But he was saying, yeah, we're going to have to take a few hits here. And he was 100% right. They fucking came out like gangbusters. It was like both teams changed uniforms. And then Alabama can do no wrong, and Michigan continues to, you know, be making mistakes, and Alabama's players are jumping up and down. They're getting amped. They're getting into the game and all of that. And I'm just sitting there going like, is this going to fucking happen again, really? I wasn't even saying that. I was like, it's going to happen. It's fucking Nick Saban. Best in the business, right? So, what ends up happening? They're up by 7. They're up by fucking 7. We get the ball back, and I'm just like, you know, I don't have any positive thoughts here. I'm just thinking, like, they're not going to do it. And then they just start driving, and they go right down the fucking field. And I don't even remember. I can't remember what the fuck happened. Everybody was just screaming. They score a touchdown. And I'm like, are they going to go for two? Are they going to go Dan Campbell on this shit? Are they going to go for two here? And they bring out the place kicker. And I'm immediately thinking, like, what would have happened if they didn't miss that extra point? Well, probably some different shit would have happened. So they tie it up, go into overtime. Fucking Alabama wins the toss. They must have gotten the ball. I guess we stopped them. And then we drive down the field, score a touchdown. Everybody's going crazy. But then Alabama gets the ball back. And I'm just going, they're going to score a touchdown. It's not going to be this fucking easy. They go, you know, we get them on fourth down or third down, was it? Break off a big run right down to the 2-yard line. I'm like, all right, they're going to punch it in on fourth down. And they called that QB draw one too many times. Michigan was finally ready for it. And they stuffed him. And the place goes crazy. And I was still looking at the scoreboard just to double check that that was fourth down and it was fucking over. And all of a sudden they start shooting off the fireworks and all of that. And we are just going absolutely fucking nuts. I cannot believe it. I can't believe it. We'll see the Michigan Wolverines beat Alabama and Nick Saban in a fucking playoff game in overtime. It was incredible. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a fucking sloppy game. It was a sloppy game. And those fucking refs, man, they missed, you know. I want to see that number 44 in Michigan, what the unnecessary roughness thing that he did versus when, you know, this Michigan player, you know, wide receiver cornerback were sort of battling each other, and the Alabama guy grabbed the Michigan guy by his helmet and just threw him down on the ground well after the play was over in front of two officials. The whole stadium saw it. Nothing. No flag. And then there was another one when the Michigan quarterback was running out of bounds, and the guy threw him down on the ground out of bounds, nothing. And I also thought their spots were very generous. But, I mean, I'm also was, like, really rooting hard for Michigan. So I'll give you maybe the spots weren't as generous as my fucking maize and gold eyes were. Maize and gold, blue and maize. I'm fucking shot from the game. Sorry. Maize and gold. But on those unnecessary roughnesses, I thought somewhere along the line that they were going to even that up. But fortunately, it didn't end up being a factor. And they fucking beat them. And all of a sudden, we are literally one game away. I don't keep saying we. I know it's not my school. But, like, I have friends who went there, whatever. Had family from out there. But they could actually fucking win this thing. We shall see. But I heard Washington has an unbelievable coach. All right, this is the end of the football podcast, all right? I got to stop with this because I'm probably like nobody's listening at this point as I try to remember a game I literally just fucking watched. All right, let's do your questions here for the week. Oh, Christ, do I have to turn my goddamn thing back on? No, I don't. All right. Why Russell Wilson was benched? Dear Bill Biletnikoff, Burr, you talked briefly about Russell Wilson's benching, but you didn't mention the real reason, a contract dispute. Well, that's because I didn't know that, and I don't have time to watch sports the way I used to, so it was a contract dispute. News broke that Broncos management actually approached Wilson the day after he beat the Chiefs, and they told him they'd bench him for the remainder of the season if he didn't remove an injury clause from his contract. Well, you shouldn't have fucking signed it. You can't fucking do that. So the Broncos are being cunts to him. Basically, the clause says he will receive $37 million guaranteed if he can't pass his physical 5 days into the next NFL season. Wilson later confirmed this news and explained that he purposely had that clause written in because he's more injury prone due to his age and style of play. Well, that was a smart move by him. And ownership shouldn't have signed it. I'm still on Russell's side here. An interesting side note is that the reporter who broke the story is Jordan Schultz, son of Starbucks founder Howard Schultz. Anyway, I'm not a Russell Wilson fan, but the Broncos organization is shameful for how they're treating him. Okay, good. You agree. They agreed to this contract, and it's highly inappropriate to pull this move late in the season. Well, that's how it works. Like, you can't do that as a player, but, you know, or as an artist, but, like, the ownership or streaming service or the studio, they hold all the cards. They try to pull this shit. Anyway, they agreed to this contract, and it's highly inappropriate to pull this move this late in the season. Coach Peyton continues to say publicly that he has no knowledge of this contract stipulation and that the benching is performance-based, but that seems like total horseshit given the news and the fact that the benching was threatened after he beat the Chiefs. I used to like Peyton, but he's been pretty classless ever since he took this latest job. If you remember, he began his tenure by publicly trashing his predecessor, Nathaniel Hackett. No, I missed all of this. On a completely unrelated note, just watched Old Dads, found it pretty entertaining. Oh, I'm glad. Glad you fucking raised your eyebrows a little bit during it. I particularly liked all the cameos from your friends like Verzi, Bartnick, and Steph Tolliff. You're like a great value version Adam Sandler. I don't know what that means. Adam Sandler always gives you great value. Anyways, all the best and go fuck yourself. All right, well, thank you. I think you liked the movie. Pretty much liked it. All right. Classic Cars. Dear Billy Blue Balls, sorry you're married with two children, right? No, why would you say that? Big fan from the Hookie Lao in Massachusetts. The Hookie Lao? Wow, that was in Chicopee. I used to open for David Allen Greer, Bobby Collins, and all these guys out there. From the Hookie Lao in Massachusetts to the Whamu in Seattle. I don't know what that is. You mentioned dabbling in classic cars on your last podcast. As someone who has literally been in the auto business since I was 12, now 71, I've done many times what you describe, which is basically buying a car you can afford, enjoying it by driving it, shows, cruise nights, then turning it over. It's fun and very affordable. I know you have a young family in today's economy. Believe me, I'm doing great. I'm not even going to lie. I'm doing better than I ever thought I would be doing in life, but I appreciate that. Once you get the hang of it, you can actually make money. Not much, but at least it's not always a money pit, and therefore keep upgrading as you go. The best part for me is the thrill of the hunt. As soon as I get my newest acquisition home, I'm looking for the next, and almost always only one at a time. I hope you have fun with it. The rental idea sounds lame. Peace. Well, the rental idea is a way to fucking drive like 20 different cars in 20 weeks. But I get it. I wish you told me the cars that you had. I'll tell you, I don't know. I just want something with a stick shift too. I kind of want something like that. And I was looking through some cars the other night, and I found one of the ugliest cars America ever made, which was the 1978 Oldsmobile Cutlass, which from the front looks like it's a four-door sedan for a businessman, and in the back it looked like a hatchback. It's like if a mullet was a car. Remember, business in the front, party in the back? This is kind of what it was. It was like this bizarre attempt at making like a fastback. And it was also, I want to say, it was a four-door sedan, which was really bizarre. I even think their 442 that year was a four-door sedan. You probably could get it in two doors, but just one of the uglier cars. That, the Chevy Citation, and got to have a third one in there. I don't know, just for lame purposes, the Mustang 2. Like most sequels, was not as good as the first. All right, Southwest giving fatties an extra seat is not okay. I think it is. Then they're not rubbing up against you, and they got plenty of places, plenty of surface area for the big fat ass. Dear Bill, last week you mentioned that Southwest Airlines would give an extra seat to overweight passengers as a courtesy and that you were okay with it. You fail to realize the implication for airline staff. Oh, did I fail to realize? You failed to realize my opinion on it. Fucking relax. All right, stop talking to me like you're my fucking boss. You fail to realize that the implications for airline staff, especially pilots. A large percentage of working airlines pilots, get to their origin airport via commuting from their home city. They do this by commuting via standby, aka ride on unsold seats. Well, the fucking airline should buy him a seat, the cheap cunts. If the last available seat is given away to an overweight person, wow, I love how you just made that up. This means that the pilot who is simply trying to get to work or get home will be denied boarding and could ruin their entire day. This is a hypothetical. And what you failed to realize is that you don't run an airline, so you don't know. You would have to call Southwest and see if this is actually a thing. You just made this up. You're going Chicken Little on me. Imagine working a four-day trip, dealing with weather, maintenance, ATC delays, sleeping in dirty hotels in armpit cities. Is that where they sleep? What are they, comics without a following? They're flying for a major airline. And the only thing getting you through it is the fact you get to celebrate your kid's birthday the day you come back. Just like a fucking Lifetime movie. You arrive at the airport late in the day and speed walk between terminals so you can make the last flight of the day home. You show up covered in sweat and the gate agent said, "Sorry, sir, we're full. Just give the last seat to this fatty." You now have to get an Uber that reeks like cigarettes to the Country Inn down the street and try again tomorrow. This is the implication. Sincerely, an airline pilot. All right. Well, I guess I got trumped on that. Well, I would say this. Your union sucks. Most unions suck at this point. I don't know why. Listen, well, maybe I failed to realize that because I don't fucking fly airplanes commercially. You fail to realize that when you say you fail to realize to somebody and then use the word implications, that immediately they're being talked down to and they're not going to listen to what you have to say. But this is the new me. This is the new me in 2024. All right, I got defensive. Had nothing to do with you. That's just my childhood fucking issues. Well, sir, I got to tell you this. Why the fuck does Southwest Airlines stick you in shitty hotel rooms? You know why that is? Because corporations are a fucking plague on society because every quarter they have to make more money. And they cut costs anywhere that they can and they just keep fucking people over until we push back. And at some point, you have to fucking push back. There's no fucking reason that an airline pilot that has all those lives, you know, in his or her hands should be treated like that. You should be staying at a fucking 4-star goddamn hotel. They're just criminals because all the money that they save sticking you in that shit hotel, they just put in their own pocket. They don't give it to shareholders. They don't pass it on as, you know, a little bit slightly cheaper fucking airline tickets or whatever. All right. Well, if I'm to believe that person was actually an airline pilot rather than somebody that just hates fat people, I want to say it's shocking that they treat you that way, but I am in the entertainment business and I see the way that they treat writers and actors and all of that type of stuff. They literally don't want to pay you. And all this new technology that's coming out, AI and all of that shit, is just, it's not for us. They're going to make it seem, oh, this is going to be great. It isn't. It's for them. It's for them. So they will finally have a workforce that won't have rights and complain. They want to go back to slavery, except this time they're going to do it with robots. How to handle people driving too fast on your street. Dear Billy Pumpkin Muff Burr. My apologies to the airline pilot. All right. I get into my own feelings there. You're 100% right. I mean, you do it for a fucking living. All right. They give them an extra seat. Somebody on that board must have like a fat wife or something. Why the fuck would you? I don't understand. Like, why would you? Now I'm on the other side. Why they should have to pay for another seat, right? I don't know. I will say, though, you know, even though you are an airline pilot, that whole fucking email, that literally read like a made-for-TV movie. Like, what was that movie with the three ghosts? Kris Kringle? The Night Before Christmas, The Nightmare on Elm Street. The Night Before Christmas. Ebenezer Scrooge. How to handle people, just going to give up. How to handle people driving too fast on your street. Dear Billy Pumpkin Muff Burr. Not even pumpkin pubes, pumpkin muff. I'm hoping to get some advice. Play the tune. Oh my God. I can't remember how it used to go. It's time for advice with your host, Billy Burr. And I'm fucking done with somebody else. I can't remember how that went. I have a year and a half old daughter, and my wife and I are starting to get nervous about the cars that speed down the street in front of our house now that my daughter is running around. Do you have any creative and legal ideas to get cars to slow down? Merry belated Christmas. Hope you have a happy new year and go fuck yourself. Yeah, I think the only way around that is... you got to somehow petition the city for speed bumps. And then even then, people could do that in between the two of them. The way people drive sometimes, it's because they don't have kids. They don't think like that. And they're also young. And it's just something about, like,
being young and going fast. Like, you just, you don't have kids. It's just how they're going to drive. So you got to get some speed. I mean, I drove like that when I was a kid. You're just not thinking because you're young. So first of all, I'm flattered that you would think I would have an idea. I guess petitioning the city is probably too difficult. I mean, I don't know what to do. That took me back to a time when we used, as kids, on trash day, one time we took like 5 trash barrels and put them straight across the street, right around a blind turn. And then we went across the street and we climbed this tree, like right next to, right next to the trash cans. And it was also, like, that wasn't dumb enough. It was also the fall, so like the leaves were off the tree. So there was just like 4 or 5 kids up in this tree, and this guy came around, this is the 70s, came flying around the corner in this big boat of a car, and he locked him up, you know, drum brakes. And he gets out, and everybody's like, who's the wise guy? I see you up in the trees. You think this is funny? You could kill somebody, you know. And what was funny was, we didn't say anything. We were just looking at him as he was yelling at us. And we were just, you know, hanging on. It's like swinging in the breeze. And I do remember he put 2 on one side and 3 on the other. And just got in his car and fucking drove away. You can't do that. Well, back then there were also metal trash cans too. Yeah, you can't do shit like that. I would Google how to get people to slow down. You know, you don't want to be that guy out there going, slow down, because all they do is give you the finger, and then they beep their horn at you, and then it makes you madder. So I would just make sure my daughter plays in the backyard, and I would have a fence. But I feel your pain. I definitely feel your pain. I've chosen not to live places because my big, you know, actually, here's something for you. If you are house hunting, a major red flag is speed bumps on your street. That means people cut through your street during rush hour. And also they're trying to take a shortcut, so they're going to be hauling ass between the speed bumps. There's also going to be a lot of traffic on your fucking street. You don't want shit like that. You don't want that, and you don't want an RV. Okay? 2 major red flags. An RV on your block is not a good sign. Yeah. Other than that, check the water pressure and fucking good luck to you. All right. That's the podcast, everybody. Happy New Year to everyone. Congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines and the Washington Huskies. I missed the last minute and a half unless something absolutely fucking crazy happened. Should be a wild one next Monday night. And I can't believe Michigan is 1 game away. Has not won since 1997. And they've won a bunch of national championships, but most of them were before Jackie Robinson. They only have 1 in the modern era, so I think it's time for them to get 2. And it's going to be a great one because when was the last time the Washington Huskies won one, if they've ever won one? I can't remember them. I remember them winning the Rose Bowl when I was a kid, but I don't remember them ever winning one. All right, that is the podcast. Thank you. For listening, go fuck yourselves. I will check in on you on Thursday. I'm doing a fast, people, starting the year, 3-day fast. Gonna try to get in the best shape I can at my age. I'm done being a fucking idiot. Gonna get myself under control. That's my goal here for 2024. Hope you guys have a happy and a healthy one. All right, I'll see you on Thursday. Wraps, fucking fantastic. And I loaded in the grill with a buddy of mine and had the thing fucking snug as a bug in a rug there. And had some bungee shit just for like coolers and stuff. I know people, the bungees, they fucking move around. What the weight of the fucking goddamn beer? I'm not going to be doing Dukes of Hazzard shit. So very excited about that. And my Ford F-250's got a 3-pronged outlet in the back, and I'm bringing my cappuccino maker. So I'm going to be fucking, and I think I'm bringing a toaster for the English muffins. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to fucking toast them up on the grill. What am I? Fucking Betty Crocker over here. Get on here with a bunch of appliances. What do you do next? Bring an apron, you little fucking fairy there. Oh, jeez. So I'm looking forward to the tailgate. We got egg sandwiches on English muffins for breakfast. We got burgers and dogs, nice and simple. I'm going to have cappuccinos. The other guys are bringing beers. I'm drinking waters. I'm making it in time for the kickoff. I'm rooting for Michigan, but it is an unbelievable honor as a sports fan to watch these two great schools go at it in a playoff game in the granddaddy of them all. It's Michigan versus Alabama, and I'm going to the fucking game, and I still can't believe it because my tickets are on my phone, which I still don't understand. Like, the amount of apps that I had to download, I had to go to my email and accept the tickets. They're not coming in. You need a different fucking app, even though with a Ticketmaster, you need this fucking app. And then that app tried to take me to another app. I had to call my fucking web guy to try to get me fucking through the whole thing. I finally have the tickets through my Apple Wallet, which isn't really a wallet, but they are to until that guy. I mean, the amount of people that are going to lose their phone being shit-faced out on that golf course, and not only are they going to lose their phone, they're going to lose their fucking tickets. I mean, we used to go and you would get a ticket, and then you just bought the thing at the game, and you put it around your fucking neck like a cowbell on a fucking cow. And it was impossible to lose, although Joe Bartnick did do it one year. He had it in his back pocket and was absolutely shit-faced. And we had to leave him behind like Willem Dafoe in fucking Platoon. But that's a different story. Anyway, this is the end of the holidays. I hope you guys enjoyed your break. I hope you enjoyed your time with your family, friends, and all that type of shit. And I hope you avoided fucking assholes that even though maybe they're related to you or they were friends, that you don't need to deal with them anymore. And, you know, just think of 2024. If you cut out all the pain in the asses in your life, how much better your life would be. Yeah, if someone's a fucking a lot of work, you know, make your life easier. Give yourself less work. Yeah, that's it. That's what I got. I'm going to go to the game. And thank you guys for buying tickets to my show again this year. I know I always say this, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, how much it means to me. And thank you for listening to my podcast. Thank you for watching Old Dads. Thank you for watching Leo and all the specials, great specials that we put out at All Things Comedy ATC. That is it. I'm looking forward to another fun year of stand-up out on the road. And I have not been laying low. I've been hitting the clubs and I kind of got a new 15 minutes that I'm fucking excited about. And that all kicks off the weekend of the Super Bowl in Las Vegas is when I start back out. So starting off with a bang out in Vegas, me and Verzi. We're going to be doing Anything Better live podcast out there. So if you're going to Vegas for the Super Bowl, please swing by and see us. We would love to have you. And maybe one of you guys can explain the prevent defense to me. Maybe a football coach will go to the game and actually give me numbers, because it has to work. There's no fucking reason why these people would be continuing to run this thing. Mike McCarthy doesn't want to get fired. These guys don't want to get fired, and they're still fucking doing it. So it has to, on some level, it has to work. And who the fuck am I? I'm just some jerk-off comedian that fucking does shit jokes and talks about his dick on stage. Why would I understand football at that level? So there you go. That's what I got. There's your first fucking, there's your last 20 minutes of 2023. Happy New Year to all of you. And I will talk to you through the magic of editing in 2 seconds after the Rose Bowl. Go Blue.